if we were to be in the presence of the holy fire, okay, we would undoubtedly be on our face before the Lord. Now, this is an amazing thing, but let me get a little background into this. Okay, I want to go back to Leviticus chapter 6 and see what the Lord has actually said about this fire. Now notice that this fire is in the outer court. This is an outer court fire. Okay, chapter 6, Leviticus. Let's start in verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar, all night unto the morning, and in the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall be put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed, which the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments, and shall put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. In other words, he had to change his clothes to take the ashes outside of the tabernacle and somewhere outside of the camp. The ashes weren't even to remain there. Okay? And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall be not be put out. Did you see that? It shall not be put out. In other words, that fire has to continue to burn. It has to last 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That fire has to burn.
Which is forever,
basically. Now, in actuality, eventually that fire did go out. You see, because he's going to do the same thing to Solomon when they build the temple, which means that the old fire has been lost a long time ago. All right, and I believe that the fire went out by the time we got to Eli the priest. I don't think there was any continual fire. I think they burned it, started it up every day or something. Because we know that even the lamp was to get its fire from this lamp, the lampstand. The priests were supposed to take the fire from here and bring it in here to light the lamp. They were to take the fire from the brazen altar. They were to bring it here to burn the incense at the golden altar. They were not to bring any other fire. So this fire, it said, it shall be burned continually. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Notice he's asking for wood. What does wood mean? What is the symbolism of wood?
Humanity.
So our humanity has to be burned up to ash. In other words, there's no humanity left, and it is a sacrifice of the Lord in and of itself, the burning of the wood, but also the burning of the flesh. Okay, so. He said, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat and the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out.
Yep, the eternal light.
Now, you realize that they moved during this 40 years... that they had at least 40 different camps. You can find a list of them. 40 different camps. How do you preserve a fire when you move from one place to another?
They did it.
How do you carry fire and keep it burning?
Torch?
No, I don't think they did.
Answers.
What'd you say?
In a sensor. With the coals in a sensor.
Oh, okay. In other words, you put it in a container and keep the coals hot. Yes. The ancient people knew how to do this. They didn't carry matches. They didn't carry lighters or propane torches or anything like that. Go back to Abraham and the time that Abraham was taking Isaac up the mountain for the sacrifice. What chapter would that be in? It's probably somewhere around 19, would it be? Oh, here we are, 22. And here in verse 3, well, in the beginning, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham," or tested him, "and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." Whom thou lovest. He had to add that. In other words, this is going to be a real sacrifice. You have to take something that you love and give it to God. I think Isaac had to learn that. I think Isaac must have had a pet lamb that he loved. And it came time for the sacrifice. And Abraham said, "Isaac, you're going to have to bring that pet lamb." "Oh, but Dad, I don't want to do it. I love him." Yeah, that's the whole idea. You've come to love him. Didn't the disciples come to love Jesus? They didn't want to lose him. They didn't want him to go. Peter argued with him. "Nay, Lord." Okay. "Take him up on the land to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took with him two young men, with him Isaac and his son, and clave the wood," that means they split the wood, "for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him." Now, in verse 5, it says, "And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb of the burnt offering?" Okay? So burnt offering didn't start with Moses and the tabernacle. And Abraham carried fire, it says here, on the third day, chapter 4, on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes. So they carried a fire that somehow they kept the coals alive for 3 days. Now, I have a wood stove where I burn. And if there's a perfect condition, I can come the next morning and I'll find live coals among the ashes. But that's only overnight. I've never tried to preserve it for 3 days. One time, I think we were gone for the whole weekend. It's only one time. And it might have been something the Lord did. We came home after a weekend, and there was enough coal in the stove to start with a little kindling and everything else to get it going. So they knew how to carry fire in the days of Moses. All right. So it shall be burning, and let me go down. Did I go down? Yeah, to verse 13. "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and shall never go out." All right. So they knew how to keep that fire going. Ash makes a very good insulator for the live coals. All right. So, knowing all this, Aaron had four sons. All right. Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. So the oldest two sons were what? Nadab and Abihu. Now this is the next verse in chapter 10. Starts off chapter 10, verse 1. They had been given their instructions. They were told that that fire in the outer court was to be burning forever, and they were to bring the fire from the outer court when they offer a sacrifice, not a burnt incense sacrifice, burn incense at the golden altar. Brazen altar, brass means what?
Judgment.
Golden altar. And once a year now, the high priest Aaron would also do burn incense here at the golden altar. And he would take this golden altar, somehow he took it through the veil. I don't know how, whether he lifted the veil or what. But when they would go with that incense into the most holy place, once a year, that would be at the time of Passover, okay? Then the glory,
hallelujah,
the glory, all that incense would just fill this most holy place. And then they knew that God had come because His glory had come. His glory was now at the mercy seat, and now Aaron, or the priest, could commune with God. It says he always went in with blood, because the blood, and then he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Okay? So, knowing this, verse chapter 10, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Do you know what a censer is? Okay, so I believe they had a golden censer if they were going to go into the most holy, or into the holy place before the golden altar. It was also a golden censer. All right, so the golden censer had coals, had hot coals, had fire in it, and they would take a handful of the incense and over the golden altar, and they would make put it on the hot coals, and it would make an incense, a sweet smell before the Lord. Okay, so they took either of them his censer. In other words, they were both in it together. They agreed what they were going to do. Hey, let's try an experiment. Why do we have to use that fire? Fire is fire is fire. Who cares? I'm going to bring some fire from home. You know, I'm going to bring some hot coals from my fireplace at home. And let's share it. Let's both go in together. Let's do this thing. Because these rules that Dad has got are just kind of stiff rules, you know. And I think we can do a shortcut. Yeah. Let's do an experiment, okay? And put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. In other words, it was against the commandment of God. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. All right, what is this a picture of? What is Nadab and Abihu's? There had to be, listen, the fire eventually went out. I don't know when it went out. I would say it probably lasted through the days of Joshua. But from what I read, at least by the time we get to Eli the priest, I am convinced that fire had gone out. I am convinced that they brought fire from somewhere else. And I am convinced that Eli was going before that golden altar and bringing his strange fire and putting his incense on and yada, 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 going through the... And they didn't die. And there was no fire right up into David's time. There was fire, but the holy fire had gone out. It had not been preserved. Every priest did not die. Why did Nadab and Abihu die?
The examples.
That's right. One man was stoned for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. there had to be thousands of men that went out on the Sabbath and picked up a stick or something like that, and they didn't all get stoned. Why did that first man? Why did Achan? Why did he have to die? Because he stole some things that belonged to God. Because he was the first.
Another thing also. The Lord wanted it done in a certain way to give the people, his first people, tangibleness of his holiness. And if this was his holiness, the fire shouldn't be strange. And the two sons of Eli didn't do it right. They were rebellious.
Yes.
And they had a mocking of God. And the Lord was very strict in those days. Jesus is our grace. He's our covering.
So the point is, the first time it's done, the man dies. And God is saying, it's still my rule. I'm not going to kill everybody. But I want to show you that I meant what I said. Now, is this going on today? Are men offering strange fire in the church?
Plenty.
What is strange fire?
Not of God.
What is strange? By the way, what does the word strange mean? Doesn't necessarily mean weird.
Not holy.
It means
not of God.
It means something that doesn't belong. Okay. I believe there are many churches that are carrying on strange fire.
Like the Hail Marys and all that?
That's strange fire. How about this Christian rock? That's strange fire. Yes, you're bringing in something from the world, trying to put some Christian words into it. How about Christian rap? Do you ever hear Christian rap?
Oh, yeah. In prison.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard a few lines of it, and Jesus will save your soul, and you can be come on. Well, you said the right words, and Jesus will save your soul, but you're doing it with strange fire. You're making something, digging something out of the world, and it's not a blessing to God. Now, he's not killing everybody that's doing that, is he? Well, or is he? Something's dying.
Spiritually.
When people do this, something dies in them.
Yeah.
Something in the soul dies.
Strange fire is like working up the anointing. You can't manufacture the anointing.
It's not the real anointing. Then.
Yeah, not the true anointing. You can't manufacture it.
Well, listen. What were the priests of Baal trying to do? They were trying to work up fire, weren't they? And what were they doing? Leaping and cutting themselves. And they must have been hollering and yelling and, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, you know.
Trying to get the other side. They don't know the real power.
Yeah, but it was strange and it didn't bring the fire of God, did it?
They were calling on their God.
They were calling on their God.
Using flesh.
Yeah, so, brethren, God has made a statement here with Nadab and Abihu that in his house, among his people, he doesn't want strange fire. Now, I know some of the churches would die if they put the strange fire out. Nobody would come anymore because that's what they like. It's tasty. People like that zip and that.
It's boring.
Well, to you it's boring, but if your flesh wants that kind of spice, that's what they want.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So Nadab and Abihu, you see, this is the same fire now. This was holy fire. They messed with strange fire. And instead of bringing a blessing to them and to God, it brought judgment on them.
It was disobedience, wasn't it?
It was disobedience. And now listen to the rest of the story here about Nadab and Abihu. It says, and Moses called Mishael and Elizaphan And the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, see now these are relatives, these are their cousins, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from here, from before the sanctuary and out of the camp. Now, the priests, okay, there were two other priests. There was Eleazar and Ithamar. These are brothers of Nadab and Abihu. He didn't call for them. He called for their cousins, the Levites, to come carry those bodies out. They weren't totally consumed. They were just fried. I mean, killed. Okay. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp. And Moses said, as Moses had said, and Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, the other two brothers, his sons, uncover not your heads. In other words, they had that special turban that they wore. Don't uncover your heads. See, for them to uncover their heads, it was a sign of sorrow. When a man would pull his thing off and he'd put dirt on his head and you know, people had, I guess they were very expressive of their sorrow in those days. I mean, they would just get down on the ground and just carry on and wail and be loud, you know, and scoop more dirt up. I don't know, I'm wondering if Job might have been doing something like that too, you know, because he was, this was a very ancient Eastern expression. Moses said, no, you don't do it. You keep your face, you've got holy garments on, don't you take a thing off. You are consecrated, you let others do the mourning, you carry on the business of the Lord. My, isn't God rough?
He's strict.
Isn't he? Yes. Yes, he is. There's principles here.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what your tears, it doesn't matter what your sorrow, it doesn't matter what your emotions, you feel like you're so crushed. Oh, everybody's been coming against me, I can't serve the Lord anymore. No, buck up, buddy. I gave you a job to do and you're going to do it. Don't you take your turban off. Amen. And uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes. Oh, they would rip their clothes to pieces too. If they were, they would rip their things. And, oh, I'm so sad, you know. And the man shows up with ripped clothes, you know, dirt all over. He said, oh, what's wrong with you, you poor boy, you know. Oh, I'm so sad, you know. All right, see, they're very dramatic in the way that, and Moses said, no. You two brothers, you don't do that. Let your cousins mourn. All right. Neither rend your clothes, lest you die. You want to die too? No. Okay. Lest the wrath come upon all the people. See, you're standing in behalf of the people here too. You're going to be an example to them. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle. You're in here, you're doing a business, you're not going out until your time is up. You shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. See, there's something about the anointing too. There was a special ingredient that went into that oil. And every ingredient had a special meaning. Do you remember when we brought that word? Rita remembers. She's probably the only one that does remember. We have a little book on that if you're interested. What all the ingredients of the oil mean. Okay? And they did according to Moses. All right, so that's the first example. And, let's go to, do we have time to go to Solomon?
Thou knowest.
You know,
I'm sorry. There was a time when the Mount Sinai was burning, and all the elders came with Moses, but the Lord didn't allow. This is not when he went up on the Ten Commandments yet, but the elders got together. Moses was called, and the mountain was burning, and the Lord told them they should not come near the mountain with their animals, otherwise they would all be consumed, and they had the fear of God in them. The Lord was illustrating his holiness in doing that with the fire, that they could only do it a certain way. And since those other two had sinned, he didn't want any kind of respect to be shown to them, that you know they violated the Lord. And the Lord wanted the people who were very rough around the edges, because they had just come out of slavery for 400 years, he wanted them to know the standard of his holiness so they could have something tangible.
Yeah, we won't go into Solomon. Let me just take a little bit more about the brazen altar, okay? And he says, and thou shalt make, verse 27 of Exodus, okay? And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. Now, do you know that a cubit is 18 inches? All right? So, when you multiply 1.5 times 5, we'll put it, what do you get?
You get 2.5.
1.5 times 5.
7.5.
So, the brazen altar was big. Between me and this little table is probably close to 7.5. The typical ceiling is 8 feet high. Did I say inches? I meant feet. Typical ceiling is 8 feet high. That is the breadth of this brazen laver. Okay? And he said, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. But it was elevated too. 3 cubits would be 4.5 feet. So yeah, Aaron had to step up on something to get into this thing. Okay? And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And so I'll just finish with this. And it was they would take a bull, and somehow they would throw this bull up on this thing, kill the bull, but they tied him to the horns of this altar. There were 4 horns, and so they would put the ropes over the horns, and this bull would be struggling and fighting, and he'd smell death and bellow and carry on. You know, and what is this picture of? What does the brazen altar represent of our steps of salvation? It is the first step of where the blood is shed, and the carnal man is like a bull bellowing and fighting against God. No, I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give that up. No, 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 he's saying he's fighting against God. But God has got him subdued. That's the whole point of horns. There's a compelling of God. There's a force of God working against the will of man. Now, he's not going to absolutely force a man, but he's going to put a lot of pressure on. Why? Because he wants you saved. He'll take you to places you don't want to go to get you to yield. He'll put you in fire that you wish you hadn't gone into to get you to yield, to break you. Lord, whatever, I'm just pray for Brother Trump here. Lord, if this corona is meant to bring him closer to you, Lord, just use it. Use it to bring him and his wife into a higher place in acknowledging you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, one final comment. This continual fire is in the outer court. Okay? This fire was the fire. This is the original. And it brought, that fire brought to the golden lampstand, which was the enlightenment, the life of the Spirit, the oil. It brought also the sacrifice of the soul, which is the incense. But the fire originated back here at the place of our salvation. It originated. The fire of God, original. Now there's other steps. There's a lot of other steps you have to go through to come into the fullness of God. But the origin of that fire was that fire that hit you when you first came to realize you needed God. There was a fire that hit, and you responded to it at some point in your life. Now, symbolically, also, this is an outer court church. And the outer court church is supposed to keep that fire burning. The outer court church has a place. It has a place of bringing in the baby Christians and keeping the fire going. What has happened over the years with Israel is the same thing that's happened to the church today. That fire has gone out. And it's been replaced out here, too, with strange fire. I'll just leave it at that. They should still, the outer court church has a place, and it should still be keeping the original fire, but it's lost it. And they're manufacturing other fire to keep the business going, to keep the organization alive. Let's just keep the fire going. I'll take you in a minute. Amen. So I think I'll quit for today. And God bless you.